You're listening to the Morning Brew with Stu Podcast, and here's your host, Stuart Brooking.
And here we go. Welcome to the Morning Brew with Stu. As always, I'm your host, Stuart Brooking, and this is another episode for Super Bowl week. We are kicking off. We kicked off Super Bowl week actually yesterday with an episode. By the time you hear this, yesterday's episode has been out. I did it with Jay Stevens, and we did kind of what Jeff Hunt, who's my guest today, used to do with movies. We kind of did a watch along, but what happened was me and Jay, we rewatched in our own time Super Bowl 41 between the Colts and the Bears, and then we went through each moment, kind of broke down the game as a whole. A fun show, a fun episode. So that one should be out by the time you're hearing this. So please go give it a listen. It was a fun episode. And Jeff, we're doing our top 10. We're going to draft the top 10 Super Bowl one-hit wonders. It's five apiece. We'll break them down. We'll talk about them, all those types of things. But Jay, or Jeff, shall I say, it's Super Bowl week, man. Next to the draft, this is the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, I do enjoy this, man. And I love this type of content. Thanks for having me on to do this, because I love the, you know, the outside the box kind of, you know, we're going to have plenty of time next week to break down the X's and O's. By the time you get to this point in the season, I mean, it feels like we're 6 months into the NFL season. Like, we know the story for the Super Bowl. I mean, we're going to break it down, but like, we know it's Mahomes versus the defense and on and on. I like doing stuff like this because I like the Super Bowl's a big deal. It's become a, you know, sort of a world holiday. So I like to reminisce, and, you know, I'm an older guy. I've seen a lot of Super Bowls at this point. So this was fun to go back and remember some of the stuff, you know, from the past and future. And I cannot wait to listen to that show with you and Jay. I love watch alongs. That's going to be dope. Not for you, Colts fans, but one of the more mundane Super Bowls of all time, but yet good.
By the time everybody's hearing this, it's already out.
That was a Reggie Wayne Bowl.
Let me tell you, Jeff.
The Reggie Wayne Bowl.
If you're not a Colts fan, it's one of the worst Super Bowls ever.
All good, man. It rained. It was fun. And that was a tough year for me because that was coming off, you know, if anybody remembers, the Ohio State Buckeyes had just lost the national championship with an opening touchdown kickoff the same way the Bears did. And I remember, here's my thought for that night to piggyback off of you and Jay. As soon as Hester crossed the goal line, me and all my Buckeyes friends watching the game went, well, that's it. Like, we knew what was going to happen to the Bears.
Yep.
It was done. That, and they had, I believe, I won't say Rex Grossman. Is that a Rex Grossman?
Bloomington South alum.
Is he on your list?
He's not on my list because he didn't play well.
Yo, man, we should just do a whole show on Purdue quarterbacks succeeding. Like, seriously, they had a run. Anyway, got off track.
All right. We will do our top, I said, one-hit wonders. And Jeff, as I was going through this list, man.
You should go first this time. You let me go first on the Christmas
vacation. If you listened to the Christmas movie draft, yeah, you did. If you went to the Christmas movie draft, it's the same thing, except we're going to do, instead of 20 overall or 20 total, we're going to do 10 total, five apiece.
We'll throw some extras in. Throw some extras.
This was quite the list, Jeff, and I don't know where I want to start. I think because I'm younger, I'm going to go with probably some of the newer ones, at least a fresh one that pops in my mind. And I'm going to start off with the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles and Nick Foles.
Oh.
373 and three touchdowns versus Tom Brady. And the reason for me that this is on there is you look kind of all the things that surrounded this, Jeff, heading into it. Carson Wentz was going to win the league MVP. He got hurt. Nick Foles comes in. They go crazy here and there. They beat Case Keenum and the Vikings to go to the Super Bowl. And to be honest with you, Jeff, if you would have asked me, if you go back to 2017, you asked sophomore in college, Stu, how this is going to work, I'll tell you how it was going to work. Tom Brady and the Patriots were going to beat the brakes off the Philadelphia Eagles, and they didn't stand a chance. And Nick Foles went berserk in this one and threw for 373 and three touchdowns and won the Super Bowl versus Tom Brady in what was a fantastic Super Bowl.
I love the pick because the thing about this pick, he wasn't just the winning quarterback. He won it. He caught a touchdown. I mean, come on. We can't forget it. Also had, like, that's got to factor in. Like, all of these players had iconic plays. Foles has one of the top, I'll say top 10, maybe top five iconic plays in Super Bowl history, especially coupled with Brady tried to duplicate it and look like a buffoon. It was a great Super Bowl to watch. It was actually a super fun Super Bowl to watch. I believe there was somewhere around 1,000 total yards. I mean, just off the charts, offenses, defenses.
Especially if you go back from the year past, Jeff, where the Rams and the Patriots played in what was a snooze fest.
You know something? Here's what's funny. I think I'm the only person on earth that liked that Rams.
Or maybe it was a year later.
No, I think the was the year before. No, the
year before was the 28-3
game. The year before was the Falcons. But I love that Rams-Patriots Super Bowl. I don't know why. Something about it. I mean, I think that was the last great defensive game we had because I think it was really defense and not poor play. But anyway, great pick though, man. Nick Foles, like, just not only one of the great performances all time, but one of the great playoff runs all time. One of the great, you know, single season runs all time. And I think it's fair to call it a one hit wonder because he hasn't duplicated the level that he hit there. So I get to go with number two.
Number two overall.
I love it. Number two overall. This is a gimme for me. This is my favorite Super Bowl of all time. My favorite storylines of all time. I've talked about it with Coach. I've been on several shows. Every time I do a Super Week, I bring up this game. It was back in 1987 when the Washington, pardon my French, Redskins played the Denver Broncos. Doug Williams, the quarterback, was the story of the game. Out of nowhere, his boy, Timmy Smith, running back for Washington that day, runs for then, I think it's still a Super Bowl record, 204 yards, has a breakout touchdown. And what made this so special, you know, he picked Doug up. Like, this was – it's hard to explain. Like, Elway – this was chalked up as Elway's Super Bowl as much as, like, Mahomes maybe last year Mahomes or – you know what I mean? Like, it was like, I'm pretty sure this is the one he's going to win. He had just got his teeth kicked in, you know, by the New York Giants. You know, this was going to be the one. The year before, and Doug Williams, you know, we can't go on enough about the Super Bowl, but, you know, first black quarterback started Super Bowl, all the stupid questions, all the stupid narrative, and they came out, had the best second quarter or, you know, in the history of a Super Bowl. But Timmy Smith, Super Bowl record runs. And then what makes it so special is, like, the rest of Timmy's career, I believe his total yards for his career, it was under 1,000. We'll just say it was – I know it was under 1,000. I think it was like 800 and some. He had 204 yards in the Super Bowl. They carried the team, you know what I mean? He was one of the best players in it. Obviously, Doug was most important. But Timmy Smith, if anybody doesn't know what that name is, that's great. Go back and look it up. Watch the Super Bowl. It's literally the best 15 minutes of football I've ever watched in my life, and I mean that with all sincerity.
Yeah, I actually had him on the list. It was a fun one.
Of course.
One I was going to go back and look at.
And I'm glad you did because, like, obviously you didn't get to watch it. I got to watch it as a kid. Like, as it was happening, I was like, it's hard to explain what it was like as 12-year-old Jeff watching Doug Williams and Timmy Smith take out John Elway and the Denver Broncos. Like, I can't explain the joy, the exhilaration. Like, I have arrived, and football has not went backwards since. So, great game. Most pivotal game in the history of the NFL.
I'm going to go with another kind of newer one, and this one might be kind of forgotten about because we talk about the quarterback on this team all the time, and I'm talking about the first meeting between the Super Bowl we're going to see this week between the Kansas City Chiefs and the 49ers. Ooh. And I know everyone talks about Patrick Mahomes in that Super Bowl.
I have no idea who you're going to say.
I'm going to go with Damian Williams, the running back. He had 104 yards.
Great pick.
And one touchdown in that game. And literally, that one touchdown is the one that sparked that comeback game from the 10-point deficit that they found that helped the Chiefs win the football game. So while Patrick Mahomes won the Super Bowl, Damian Williams may have had the most important touchdown in that Super Bowl.
That's a great pick, Stu. I watched the highlights. You know, they were showing the highlights last night, and I saw it. And as I was watching it, I was like, I forgot what the only thing. And I agree with you. I think this is the best pick so far, and it'll probably be the pick of the day. Is the only thing it takes away from it is because that we have forgotten about in the last 10 years, really forgotten about running backs overall. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that it kind of was like, well, every year, whatever running back is in the Super Bowl, we're going to kind of forget. You know what I mean? But that's not fair. He won that Super Bowl, played a great game. And yeah, you know, his career didn't go, you know, obviously the way anybody or him wanted. But man, like, I don't have a great Super Bowl on my resume. So great pick. I think that I'm mad that I didn't have him higher on my list. I'm actually good right now.
Hey, it's all right. That's like that guy that no one expects. It's like the Saints taking Marcus Davenport from UTSA in the first round, all right?
Yeah.
Nobody expected it. All right, pick number four overall, Jeff, is you. Who you got?
This is wild, man. And I'm not old enough to have watched this, but I grew up, you know, on the Super Bowl stories. I remember every year, the night before the Super Bowl, they played an hour of each Super Bowl highlights leading up to it. I would stay up all night watching this. The first Super Bowl ever had maybe the greatest one-hit wonder ever. His name was Max McGee, played for the Green Bay Packers. He didn't play all season. They didn't really throw the ball much back then. He was not worried about playing, so he wanted to enjoy the first Super Bowl, went out all night, gallivanting around, admittedly drinking, had a terrible hangover the next day. Starting wide receivers hurt. They put Max in. He catches two touchdowns from Bart Starr to win the very first Super Bowl of all time. So how could I leave off a hungover, you know, aging wide receiver? Think about aging in the first Super Bowl. That means you started in like the 50s. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, no kidding.
And it's a great story. And you can go back and, you know, find the videos of him telling the story and people talking about it. And in my generation grew up, like, that was just always a name of like, yeah, well, Max McGee Super Bowl. Like, we just grew up learning about it, you know, hearing about it. You know, keep in mind, like, when I started watching Super Bowls, Max McGee was around to tell the stories. You know what I mean? He wasn't that old of a man. So I could not leave my man off the list. At number four, I'm taking Max McGee. If you haven't heard of him again, please go look it up, people. He's a great storyteller. And it was back when sports were still a little bit fun and not as scrutinized and tore apart like they are today.
Good pick. Good pick. All right. I'm going to pick a player from a Super Bowl that actually has two one-hit wonders in there.
I know. I'm going to pick the other one then. I'm picking the other one.
And I'm going with Tampa Bay Buccaneer defender Dwight Smith. And the reason I'm going with him over Dexter Jackson, even though Jackson won the MVP, is he's done something no other player – Smith did something no other player has done in Super Bowl history, and that's get two pick sixes to help Tampa Bay in that vaunted defense – absolutely smack the Oakland Raiders.
Can I throw something out there? I'm going to do two things here, Stu. I'm going to go ahead and give you Jackson because I don't think it's fair to piggyback on. I'm going to give you Smith, the Smith-Jackson combo. And I will say one of the best defensive performances I ever saw in my life. And I want to say it's funny how afterwards when they came out that Tampa Bay knew Oakland signals, how much easier it made the game. That's all I'm going to say. As an Ohio State fan, that's all I'm going to say about that. But that's a great pick. I couldn't choose between Jackson and Smith. I had Jackson a little higher, only because for whatever reason back then, I liked Jackson more. But I'm just going to give you both.
I was torn, too, because I know he won the MVP.
I don't want you to have to pick them both.
Okay. Thank you. And I know he won the MVP, Jackson did, but the reason I went with Smith is he's done something no other player has done. Yeah. Several other players have won MVPs, but no one else has had two pick sixes in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't want you to have to pick another one, and I don't want to piggyback on that. You know, but Smith's the right answer, but I'm throwing Jackson in as a combo.
All right, cool.
It was synonymous.
I get Smith and Jackson.
And just what a man. That was a fun game. Just something fun about dominance every now and then. Yeah. Like if that happens, you know, this next Super Bowl, we're miserable. But for some reason that night, I was like, I love this. Of course, you know, I grew up in the 80s where every Super Bowl was an ass.
I was going to say, you grew up when
it was
there awful. Was no close games.
The NFC just ran. I remember, like, I'm trying to explain what it was like when the Broncos finally won that Super Bowl in 96, right? Or 97 was their first. 97, I'm sorry. What a big deal it was that the AFC won a Super Bowl. Like, that's the dominance that the NFC had for a decade. Like, it was absolutely, you know, the Bills couldn't get it done. Dolphins couldn't get it done. Nobody could. It was just, they ran roughshod. And then I remember, like, I'll tell you how bad it was. Let me tell you about it real quick story. I was excited. Now, you know me. I was excited for the 2003 Patriots to win a Super Bowl just because it was an AFC team. That's how that's how bad it was. Now things have evened out and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But it was crazy. So, okay, that's cool. So, I'm up. Okay, mark him up.
Number six overall.
I'm going to take a guy from another, you know, not another team. I went back and forth. I had to pick one player. I went with Chris Matthews. And
oh, you took it.
The reason a lot of people don't recognize that, like, this dude played for the Seattle Seahawks in a losing effort against the New England Patriots. He was almost the most important player in the game, but all season he didn't. I don't think he caught a pass that season, if I remember correct. His total career catches was under 20, I believe. Like, you know, did not have an illustrious NFL career, but this dude had over 100 yards, big catches all over Super Bowl, one of the greatest.
And only five catches.
Yeah, I mean,
he was averaging over 20 yards a catch.
Just torched the New England Patriots that day in what should have been a Super Bowl victory. I couldn't leave him off because just like my man Timmy Smith, Max McGee, a true out of nowhere one hit step. And when I say one hit wonder, I hope everybody understands that this is not an insult. This is saying that you stepped up on the biggest stage on the biggest day of your life and played the best game. Like, I don't know if there's actually a better compliment to a player than what Chris Matthews did that day. And as he did it, I remember thinking, this dude is balling. It wasn't luck. It wasn't any of that. Like, this is what happens when you work hard all year and your opportunity comes and you take advantage of it.
Great pick. Great pick. So number seven overall. All right. People are probably wondering how this got so low. And president of Off the Ball Network is going to kill me for the fact that it fell this far. But overall, his game wasn't that good. He didn't play that good of a game. But he has one of the most iconic moments in Super Bowl history. Maybe the most
It's iconic. Number one. It's number
and
one.
And I'm going with David Tyree, the wide receiver for the New York Giants. Helped propel, keep that drive alive for Eli Manning and the New York Giants to end the undefeated New England Patriots streak. I believe after that, it's Amani Toomer that catches the touchdown in the end zone for the New York Giants. But if it wasn't for that helmet catch by David Tyree.
Burris caught the winning touchdown.
Yes, Burris caught the winning touchdown. If the helmet catch from David Tyree doesn't happen, that winning touchdown from Burris doesn't even matter.
Yeah, great pick. And you just can't. He was definitely on my list. I probably would have went next with him. And he played a good game. I didn't want to pick anybody that had anything to do with that team, you know, that he graduated from. But just that play is fun. And it's hard. And also, you got to factor in how much we were all rooting, like, especially as a Dolphins fan, rooting against an undefeated NFL team. So at that moment, Edelman's catch versus Atlanta is up there too with the greatest catches I've ever seen. But Tyree, that's got to be the number one, is if you factor in we're able to watch the replay, the angles, the slow motion, all of those things, the number one play in NFL history to this point. So that's a great pick. He deserves it. He stepped up, got the catch, won the Super Bowl. Good for them.
All right, number eight overall, Jeff.
Another throwback.
Please don't tell me it's who I think it is. I'll be ticked.
So back in the day, the Dallas Cowboys.
80s or 90s.
The 90s Cowboys used to go to Super Bowls. And the third Super Bowl they went to in the 90s, this guy came out of nowhere. And what makes this a little different is he was also a free agent after this game. So he comes out of nowhere, plays the game of his life, gets the bag, plays, I think he maybe played another 12 games the rest of his career. Al Davis, you know, just whatever, would just buy Super Bowl MVPs back. His name's James Washington. He played all. Oh, you got the other one. He had two pick sixes. I forget. I got the stats a little wrong. But he had two interceptions versus Neil O'Donnell, Pittsburgh Steelers back in 96. And believe me, as football fans, none of us knew who the other guy was, you know what I mean? And at Dallas that day, you know, give all the credit to whoever you want on these great Dallas teams, but that's a true one-hit wonder. Is like he had one game that anybody ever knew that he was on the field, but he stepped up, got the interceptions, won the third of the dynasty for the Dallas Cowboys. So I got James Washington.
And I'm going to go with, in 95, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm going to go with Larry Brown. He had two picks, Neil O'Donnell.
I got those backwards. Sorry, but you're right. I got the right guy.
It was 95 versus Neil O'Donnell, Larry Brown, two picks. What a performance by him. 2 years before I was born, actually, but it's still iconic. Geez. And it was a good Super Bowl. I've watched it when they've done the replays on the
It really wasn't network. That bad of a game.
No, it was a good game. And when you talk about all the guys they had on that squad, for a guy like Larry Brown to come out, get two picks to help secure the victory for the Cowboys, it was not the guy you would expect to have the two picks.
Right.
All right, Jeff, you have the 10th and final pick of the draft.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go with – I got a couple also mentions, but I'm going to go with the guy that, defines it more. And honestly, he played a fantastic game that day. I don't want to bring it up. I assume that the guy that, he did it against is one of Stu's all-time favorites. But Malcolm Smith versus the Denver Broncos that night – He was all over the field. Seattle, kicks the crap out of Peyton Manning and the Broncos. Smith was everywhere. It's another one of these guys, the rest of his career, there wasn't a whole lot of games started, not a whole lot of stats, but that night he was off the charts. He was everywhere. He was tackling, had an interception. Malcolm Smith and again, this isn't one of none of it was luck. These weren't tip passes. Like, he played the game of his life next to Bobby Wagner, and it was one of the best defensive performances I ever saw. I still say on that night, this is a guy that, trust me, people, I watched the 85 Bears, I watched the 86 Giants, I watched the 2000 Ravens. On that night, I swore, as far as versatile and talented, that Seattle, that was the best defensive team I ever saw play football on a night, was the Seattle Seahawks that night.
So do you want to hear a funny story or not?
I do want to hear a funny story.
I guess it's not super funny, but it's going to get me absolute torched by Colts fans.
Uh-oh.
You have to understand this. Let me set the precedent.
Hey, Stu, we all know you, man. Nobody's going to be surprised.
I rooted against Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. And
I respect that.
I was a big Marshawn Lynch fan. I was a big Richard Sherman fan. I like the trash talk. I like all that. I wanted them to win. But the reason I rooted against the Broncos more so than anything was, and it's a big thing. You probably hear me give Walker a hard time about it in the chat. And the thing is, and I'm sure you were raised this way, I was raised to be a diehard fan of your team, no matter what.
Yeah,
win,
basically.
Lose, draw, it, no matter what, no matter how bad it gets, you're there. You support them. You're a diehard till the day you die, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Unless obviously something crazy happens. But so I'm a diehard Colts fan. What I didn't like, and the reason I rooted against the Broncos, were a lot of these people who called themselves diehard Colts fans all of a sudden were out of nowhere diehard Bronco fans.
That's the worst.
And diehard. And so then when Peyton retires in 2015, come back and say that they've been diehard Colts fans their whole life. And it's like, I remember when you were wearing orange and blue instead of blue and white. But the point was that the reason I rooted against Peyton, and it was nothing against Peyton, and I told Jay this yesterday when we recorded that thing, was I, quite frankly, Jeff, I caught the end of the Peyton Manning era. I caught the end of it. When I really started loving football, my guy was Andrew Luck. And he was the guy for me that Peyton Manning was for a lot of kids who grew up in the early 2000s and the 90s. And I was an Andrew Luck guy, and I thought he got hated on by Colts fans for absolutely no reason, only because he had to replace the guy that wore 18. And so, yeah, I rooted against Peyton in that Super Bowl. I was a little proud to see it happen. I'm completely petty. And let me tell you this. I did cry, though, in 2015 when Peyton won. You knew it was over.
That's fine. You had grown.
I gotten over my and pettiness.
Let me tell you something too. There wasn't like that Seattle, like, you know what? Here's a show. You just sparked me. We do Super Week here at Off the Ball Network. Next week, my show is going to be just favorite Super Bowl teams. You're just like, I watched this team. I loved it
a day. If you need somebody you need a guest, hit me up.
You're in, man. Because like this Seattle Seahawks team for one night was one of my favorite teams that I ever saw play football. Like they did, because this wasn't
that
like
Jermaine Kearse catch too, like with his feet.
Yes. None of it was a fluke. They were prepared. They were ready. You know, I remember all week the talk about the little receivers, Chris Carter running his mouth, and they went out there. They showed up, and the defense played the best game. They knew exactly what to do against Manning. Like this, none of this was luck. And then what you talk about with Manning winning in 15 was, I thought it was 16, 15. You're right. 16,
the 15 would have been the season, but 16 would have been the year.
So anyway, doesn't matter that as far as like the Carolina team wasn't that likable. So yeah. Like it was fine that Von Miller and those guys carried Peyton Manning to maybe let's just say as a quarterback in that season, one of the worst quarterbacks to ever win a Super Bowl.
He was 32 out of 32 that year.
Yeah. Like I'm just saying he was like, but I remember him playing the AFC Championship game and two wheel routes got him, but obviously his brain and everything. But I'm just saying, like, if you watched him play, you're like, Cam Newton should have won by 50 that night.
Yeah.
But he didn't. So that was a kind of a cool Super Bowl. But Carolina wasn't that likable of a team. Yeah. Josh Norman's another guy that could honestly be on this list or whatever. But I like it. But I got a couple
Yeah, we got off track. Hey, great final pick, by the way. We got a couple that didn't make it that I think people are going to be like yelling at us about.
I want you to give me one. And I've got like a couple guys that aren't one-hit wonders, but like I think in people's mind what they remember is the Super Bowl performance and nothing else. But who's a couple of your assos?
Obviously Malcolm Butler. I mean,
yes.
If Malcolm Butler doesn't get that pick, Tom Brady doesn't. I think what people will remember more about that is Pete Carroll's decision to not run as opposed to the interception, which is kind of a shame for Malcolm Butler. Because it's one of the most mind-boggling.
It's one of the best defensive play calls of all. It's one of the best defensive play calls of all time. So, like, the story of that is that Belichick called the play before that because he knew what Carroll would call the next play. And he knew all week he had practiced.
And Malcolm Butler all week, though, was getting scorched in practice on that route.
Yeah, it wasn't working. But, like, basically Belichick called that play. For Carroll, like that was one of the best coaching decisions ever. But what I like too about the one hit wonders is Butler got the bag. Everybody like jumped on board. He really his career didn't.
And then gets benched in 2016.
I don't want to say, like I say again, I want to be clear. Like these guys stepped up on the biggest stage is what we want players to do. So I'm not mocking them for it.
Yeah,
I'm just saying their career. And there's nothing wrong with getting paid either. Like that's a win. Yeah. Like you get a Super Bowl win and you get paid. Like that's a win. That's a great win.
My other two, I got two more. Kind of like what you said earlier, it's more so they're remembered for the Super Bowl, but they did do – I mean, I guess this guy didn't do a whole lot more in his career. But Jake Delhomme for the Panthers, 323 and three touchdowns. Call. And then you have Jim Plunkett. He did it twice, two different Super Bowls.
Yeah.
He's the only guy to win two Super Bowls, not being the Hall of Fame. But 261 and three touchdowns for Oakland as well. And then I'll end it with Corey Clemens with Philadelphia in that 2017 Super Bowl. Had 100 yards, including one touchdown and four catches.
A lot of guys in that Philadelphia game. A couple other quarterbacks like that had like decent careers, but like had one great – Mark Rypien, maybe one of the greatest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, guys like that, like – but also had good careers. So, I got two guys that have obviously solid NFL careers, played for a while, but what jumps out is that one night is Deion Branch and Santonio Holmes.
Yes.
I
didn't know if they classified as one-hit wonders.
They really don't. But
didn't put them on there.
When I look at it, they're like – but I think Branch more than like – Branch was a star. But Branch was basically – He was the best receiver on the Patriots that year, but we're talking under 1,000 yards.
But in that first run, too.
But a great receiver never was really more than the third best receiver on a team after that. but that night was the best receiver on the field. Holmes had a lot of potential to play for Pittsburgh, but that night had one of the great – I think it's more that Holmes had one of the – Holmes had the greatest – outside. No, no. Jerry Rice in 88, greatest wide receiver drive, one drive that I've ever saw, that game-winning drive, even though he didn't catch a touchdown. John Taylor did. Holmes had the second best just one wide receiver drive. Like, it was just like – Big Ben's like, okay, we're going. Me and you's taking this home, and stepped up and he did it.
And like you've been saying with some of the other guys here, like you said, Malcolm Butler, he went on to get the bag from the New York Jets, yes, and played in a couple AFC championships. Really,
but like I say, he was good. So that's why I didn't pick him. And then one more guy, I don't even like to say his name, but I think it's worth bringing up: a Super Bowl MVP, a Heisman winner, comes out and never, like, his career was just. Really wasn't
dog water.
Yeah, I don't know what to say outside of the Super Bowl MVP, which it's stupid to say that. Outside of the Super Bowl MVP, he really just had a disappointing career. Desmond Howard has a couple great kick returns, wins the Super Bowl MVP, but was not a good NFL player.
Let me ask you this. Did he deserve it? Because I will say this.
No, Reggie White was the best.
Well, I'll say performance-wise, his teammate Antonio Freeman had 9 catches, 126 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He probably should have won the MVP.
Bro, you're a young man. I don't know if I can tell you how good Freeman was that nobody will ever remember. Freeman was a dog, great wide receiver. You're 100% right. Like, he was triple the wide receiver that Howard ever was. But that's what I'm saying. But still, though, made the play. Hey, 90, whatever. I think his kick returns was 90 plus yards. 90 plus yards is 90 plus yards. Doesn't matter how you get it. So,
yeah,
not taking anything away from Howard, but I'm saying, like, his career was not what, you know, people might think it was if you just, you know, watch him talk. But got Super Bowl MVP, and the Green Bay Packers, you know, went away with it. But that night, I mean, Reggie White was great that night, but Reggie White's an all time, like, I don't know, he might be a top 5 all time player. Like, Reggie White's so good. Reggie White's a guy that I wish, and I don't mean this as young people, like, they do, I don't mean it as it has anything to do with their knowledge or anything. It's just when they were born. I wish that young people could just see Reggie White play live to, like, explain. The closest probably in this game would be Chris Jones. Like, when Chris Jones is on, how you're like, and by the way, just a tipper, I think Chris Jones is going to be the most important player in the Super Bowl, by the way.
All right.
I think he might win MVP. I think he's in some sort of zone that he's just figured out. Like, Aaron Donald did a couple times, had a couple years to where, like, I'm the best player in the field. Like, Jones is kind of in that. I love Chris Jones. I thought a couple years ago Chris Jones was better than Aaron Donald. But that's kind of like if I had a comparison, like, what it was like as far as, like, what Reggie did that season as far as being a free agent. I know we got off track here, but I just like to talk
about
it.
You're good.
Like, and it has nothing to do with anybody. Like, it's not this get off my lawn guy. It's just like, I wish you could have saw him play.
Well, let me tell you this, Jeff. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then we'll do a score prediction for this Super Bowl as well.
Okay, great. I haven't even thought of one. I'll think of it right now.
So here's the thing, Jeff. I've always said I wanted a time machine. And, like, I know I could go back and do some noble things with a time machine, right?
Well, if I had a time machine,
you could solve world hunger. You could do all kinds of crazy things, right? I've always said I wanted to go back to watch certain guys play live. Michael Jordan play live. I want to go see, you know, guys who I think, Joe Montana, Reggie White's one of those guys. I would take a time machine and say, take me here because I want to go see this guy play live.
Ooh, that's another good topic for a show. Let's pencil that in.
Okay.
The time machine episode.
I've been lucky to see some all timers in my life. You know, Brady, Manning,
LeBron. You're going to get to see more. You're going to get to see more.
And I'm going to see more.
That's the other side of it.
But there's an era of football that I have a respect for, and I understand as a historian of the game and those types of things. But I don't think I can ever, and it's not my fault. It's just when I was born.
Oh, yeah, it's just time.
I don't think I can ever fully grasp how great these people were.
Well, like, I tell you, here's one that you can't explain to anybody because of rules, because of the legal system, and because of just sheer common sense. Watching Lawrence Taylor play football when he was in his prime, if y'all know what I'm talking about, when he was really wound up, was like nothing you've ever seen. I don't even know. Like, imagine, you know, we got Pacheco in this Super Bowl, like the way everybody talks about how he runs. Now imagine he was the best athlete on the field and he was on defense and you didn't protect the quarterback. Like, you were allowed to try and break the quarterback's neck. Like, I'm not
he actually broke
people.
One guy's leg. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. You were allowed to try and like physically harm a quarterback.
And it was, this, he didn't use PEDs. He just used cocaine. Same thing. But
this brother put it, smoked it in these cigarettes. Anyway, it's a different story.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, we're going to do a quick score prediction for this Super Bowl between the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Not the Jimmy G-led 49ers, but the seventh round, Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy-led 49ers. I've said this. Listen, we did this in the divisional round. We talked about it, right?
I tried to tell you.
We never doubt. You never doubt that guy wearing 15, ever. He's one of those guys you never doubt wearing 15.
Yep, an MFR.
If he wins this, Jeff, top three all time. And I think he's top five all time already, but he wins this, he's top three all time. My opinion, greatest talent, let me specify, talent I have ever seen at the quarterback position. I used to think that was Aaron Rodgers. Now it's Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
Let's go with...
Mark this timestamp.
My final score prediction for this, I actually think it's going to be more of a shootout than people are going to give it credit for. I think it's 31-28 Kansas City over the 49ers.
I kind of like where you're going with it. I promised everybody I'm not going to go against Mahomes anymore. I apologize.
I said like, Chiefs, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I want, the Chiefs.
Yes. You might have said Mahomes. I'm going to do something. This is going to sound bad, and then I'll explain it. I'm going to go something like 35-17 Chiefs, but here's why. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's actually going to be closer than that. I think there's going to be a – at the very end, I think there's going to be a splurge, a pick six, a fumble, an extra. I think there's going to be an extra touchdown to make this score look worse than it is. I think that – for some reason, I see this being – this is going to be the Mahomes, like, quote-unquote, blowout Super Bowl. I think it's going to be tough throughout, but there's going to be something goofy in the fourth quarter, and it's going to get to, you know, 28-17. And we're going to be like, oh, man, it's only 11 points, whatever. And it's just something – a fumble, interception, whatever, defensive touchdown, something crazy. You know, an 80-yard run by a running back. Just the 49ers kind of get to, like, after the all the season, after fighting through it, after – you know, 20 games of, you know, of football, the 49ers are going to be like, this is what used to happen in Super Bowls. And they're just going to kind of like, man, screw this. It's going to be a junk touchdown. So I think 35-17 Chiefs, but I think it's still at the same time going to be a good game. But I think Mahomes is kind of like, I've seen this with Jordan. It's to where I'm like, this is what's going to happen. For like 3 years, this is what's going to happen. I think it's going to be Kelsey's last game. There's a bold prediction. I think he walks out of the winner, and I just, the Chiefs defense looks nasty. I've watched them all year. They played good all year. And I know what the games, you know, the close games look like, but it just, I just can't spin it any other way. 35-17 Chiefs.
All right. Let me end it with this, Jeff. The only guy I've ever seen take a bunch of slappies and compete in any kind of championship is LeBron. I mean, when you're taking a guy by the name of Zydrunas Ilgauskas and Mo Williams to the NBA finals, you're bringing a bunch of slappies along with you. I'm not saying anybody on this Chiefs team's a slappy because you have the greatest tight end of all time and Travis Kelce and all that kind of stuff. But like, can we stop with this like unnecessary Patrick Mahomes hate? Like, we talked about this. Me and you talked about this when we talked about Aaron Rodgers and the quarterback countdown. LeBron's one of the most hated athletes of all time, in my opinion, for zero reason. There's no reason he's the hatest. He should be. The reason he's the most hated athlete of all time is because us LeBron fans put him in the same conversation as MJ. Do you know why Mahomes is becoming one of the most hated guys ever? Because us Mahomes guys are putting them in the same conversation as Brady, and the Brady fans want to hold on to – they're insecure, and they want to hold on to as much of that power as they can. And they don't like to admit that there might just be somebody who's a little bit better.
I love it.
But that's why for me. Hey, Jeff, before we go, let people know where they can find yourself, what you're working on, all that good jazz. It's Super Bowl week, Jeff. It's Super Bowl week. It's the greatest time of the year next to the NFL draft. Hey, speaking of the NFL draft, draft content coming out from me after the Super Bowl.
Can't wait.
And then if you've missed it and you want to learn football a little bit more, go back to my episode last week. Actually, it just came out today of recording, but last week, by the time you're hearing this, I did an interview with Kenny Simpson. He's a football guy in Arkansas. But if you're a fan of football and you understand, and especially if you grew up in the era where the wing tee was popular, he changed an offense into the gun tee, kind of did some different kinds of concepts and elevated it for today's game. If you want to learn football, it's a great podcast to go listen to. But Jeff, before you go, let people know where they can find your stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm still, you know, Jeff Needs Sports. I took a couple weeks off after college football season, a little bit of a letdown, a little bit of a, you know, recovery. I'm still doing some stuff with the Off the Ball Network, of course. Go check that out. With Super Week coming up, so I'm going to have some stuff coming out. I'll definitely do some post-Super Bowl stuff. And then we're going to do a lot of fun stuff. We'll get Stu on here, and we'll do some of these top 10 lists and things
hit
like that.
Hit me up.
And
if you need anything, you hit me up.
100%. We got Super the draft Bowl coming week, up. Maybe we'll do some movie stuff. Like, we're going to do a lot of fun stuff in the offseason this year. And then, of course, the NBA is awesome. So, and then at jhunt006 on the X is the easiest way to get hold of me, contact me, find my stuff and all that. But I would appreciate being on with Stu. This was a great show, man. Everybody, just always remember this. It's the last football game. Just enjoy it. It's not a hate fest. Just enjoy it. It's a TV show, and you're getting to see, you know, here's what we know in this Super Bowl. We're getting to see – I'll say it on both sides. With Fred Warner and Patrick Mahomes, you're getting to see two of the best football players that have ever lived on this planet. So just enjoy it.
And Travis Kelce. But yes.
Grace,
you're right, Jeff. Listen, I love football. It's sad that it's almost over. But hey, football season never ends with the NFL draft coming up. But hey, big thank you to everybody listening. I hope you enjoy it. Football season's over. It's February. We'll make it through the month of March and April doing some draft stuff. But then it becomes Jeff and I's favorite time of the year. In June, it's the quarterback countdown. So I'll be digging into those guys the entire month of March and April, 2 months of March, while I'm also doing NFL draft stuff. So just I'm ready, Jeff. It's you would think for football season it would start to wind down. Nah. My wind down is right around the preseason. I don't put out as much, but then football season through now, dude, I'm cranking it. The draft, dude, it just picks right up, dude. We're cranking them out, and then we get into the quarterback countdown. We're cranking them out,
We should just schedule an hour show on CJ Stroud, because that's going to be the most interesting conversation that we have this summer.
You might be a little.
And I'm an Ohio State fan. I know all. I'm
you might
State
be a little
fan.
Surprised at how
football.
High I have him. So we'll see.
That's what I said. We're gonna have a long conversation about it. I'm an Ohio State fan. I know our football season starts like in January, so you don't have to tell me about no off season.
All right, man. Have a great day. Enjoy it, man. And thank you for doing this. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Always.